Coming to you direct from the nerve center of the galaxy's greatest comic. This is the 2000 AD Thrillcast.
Borak Thung, Earthlitz, and welcome to the 2000 AD Thrillcast, the first of the year 2020. We've been on a bit of a break over Christmas and New Year, but we are back. Hello to those of you who are watching on YouTube, because we're now all videoed up, so you can see into the 2000 AD sound booth. And unfortunately, my face as well. For this first episode of the new year, we're going to be focusing on a new series, Best of 2000 AD, which is coming out in April, supported by a primer issue for Free Comic Book Day, which is on the 2nd of May. The actual first issue of the Best of is out on 29th of April, and this is a US format, so it's US comic book size, 100 pages, perfect bound. You've got Judge Dredd, you've got Halo Jones, you've got Brink, and you've got Jaeger, which is the Rogue Trooper spin-off series. This is intended as like the ultimate mixtape for 2000 AD, just a thrill shot for people who perhaps have never picked up 2000 AD or picked it up and haven't been able to get it on a regular basis. It's going out through comic book stores, so you won't find it in newsagents. Go to your local comic store before the 23rd of January to make sure that they order their copies. We're going to be having three guests on today for this first podcast. We've got Jane McKelvey, who's the cover artist for issue number one. We've got Becky Cloonan, who's the cover artist for issue number two. And afterwards, we're going to be talking to Owen Johnson, who's the person here at Rebellion who has been helping put this together. And we'll talk about the choices of the content, what the intention is, what we've got coming up. It's all fantastic stuff. Real great way to kick 2020 off. But most importantly, we're here to talk to some of the creators behind this brand new title for the galaxy's greatest comic. And it's wonderful to be joined by artists Jamie McKelvey and Becky Cloonan. So, Best of 2000 AD number one is out on the 29th of April, with number two the following month, and it's absolutely fantastic to be joined on Skype by issue one cover artist, Jamie McKelvey.
Hi.
And issue two artist, Becky Cloonan. Who froze at that exact moment.
No.
Thank you, Skype. Thank you, gods of Skype. It was wonderful.
My God.
But yes, welcome, guys. It's so great to have you both on. What I want to talk about a bit is the covers that you've done for Best of 2080, because this is a reprint title, but we've decided to commission artists who are very well recognised in the States to bring their own versions of Dredd to the covers to really attract people and let them know that, you know, this is something special. So, Jamie, I wanted to come to you first and ask about your cover for issue number one, because we decided to launch with you. You've got a very high profile because you've just recently finished The Wicked and the Divine with Kieran Gillen, and you're currently working on your creator-owned series.
Yeah.
What was your reaction when we first came to you and asked you to do a cover? Because you're a 2000 AD reader of old, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah. So I grew up reading it. My big brother, he's a few years older than me, and we used to share a room, and so I used to read his 2000 AD's, probably a little bit too young, to be honest. But so I grew up with all his characters. So very excited when I was, like a lot of these characters mean quite a lot to me, you know, so it's really exciting to be involved in this, especially the first issue as well. That's really exciting.
And we gave quite a lot of leeway to people. We basically said it has to be Dredd, because Dredd's, you know, the most recognised character in the States. But aside from that, we very much wanted you guys to bring your vision of Dredd, your ideas about Dredd to it. So take us through your thought process for what you chose in the end.
I mean, obviously, yes, Dredd has to be Dredd. But I feel like when you're doing something like a best of an anthology series, you want to bring in another character as well. So it's not just about him. And obviously I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer to choose Anderson in that respect. So yeah, just the two of them, wanted to do justice to both of them. So like worked through a couple of different sketches. But what I really wanted to get across was these characters and also the city they live in. So then you've got the Mega City One backdrop and everything, and then you've got the kind of like bionic Pert in the foreground. You know, you're looking from his point of view, trying to get across the I guess, what you might expect from the comic, basically. That's what you want to try and do with a cover like this. Make it look cool, but also this is the kind of thing you might find inside.
Because you caused quite a stir a few years ago now when you did a, I think it was just a warm-up sketch of Judge Anderson from the 2012 movie, and everybody absolutely went ape for that.
Yeah. So you can never really tell with these things, because that's the sort of thing, it takes you like half an hour or something. Well, that one probably took a little bit longer, but you just do the sketch, put it online, and some people lose their minds over it. And that was me just trying to get to grips with working digitally, because I haven't been in it that long. So like, and it's always like, people have always been saying, oh, you know, we'd love to see you do like an Anderson series or something, which I'd be up for at some point, I guess. But they're some of my favorite characters. So
one comment that I saw, I think it was Simon Spurrier said on Facebook that of all the things he didn't think your style, which is very recognisable style, is very much your style. One of the things he never thought it would adapt necessarily well to was Mega City One, and yet that's one of the striking things about the character, this kind of neon, McMahon-esque background behind it. I mean, was that a conscious choice on your part?
It was kind of, I mean, I looked at some of the classics, obviously like McMahon, Jock, obviously is someone who does Mega City One really well. Looking at like other people's sort of interpretations of it, and then kind of adapting that to my style and I guess modern science fiction sensibilities. I think the thing that makes it stand out as mine is applying my sort of color sensibilities to it, I think. So that combination of like, you know, looking at the classics of Mega City One and combining that with my colour sounding kind of like makes it work, I guess.
And talking about the colour aspect, because for a long time you've worked with Matt Wilson on on stuff, and you know, you two work well, incredibly well together. But you've started colouring your own stuff just very recently. How has that worked out? And was this kind of like a bit of a test case for that for the future?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm still working with Matt in the future, because he's incredible. Like, there's no way I could ever be as good as him. But I guess he's rubbed off on me a lot. I've learned a lot from him working from the last sort of 5 years. We have sort of similar ideas of colour work and stuff. And yeah, just with covers and things like that, it's nice to be able to, like, do a complete statement all by yourself. Although saying that, funnily enough, while I was doing the cover, he was staying with me and my girlfriend, him and his wife, and I was colouring it in the morning, I think, just before Thought Bubble convention, and I was like, I'm not quite sure what I need to do with this bit, and he just sort of leans over. He's like, oh, just do this, add this layer, and just do this, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, fine. So, even when I'm doing it myself, he's still there helping me.
Yeah, what you need is like a virtual mat just to kind of sit over your shoulder.
Or just get him to move in, and he could just like help me whenever. I'm sure he wouldn't mind it.
So with a colour like this, where you've got Anderson and Dredd, and that, you know, the dark hands of the bionic Perp at the front, it's very much a statement cover. It's very much the kind of in your face, and it's something that I think I've come to recognise from your covers, that actually you're very keen. I mean, the obvious example is the Wickdiv covers, where it's literally the characters looking at you. You're very much not afraid to have characters staring out at the reader. Is that a conscious choice, or is it just how you like to approach stuff?
Yes, I would say so. Yeah, a lot, because with covers, obviously, they've got to look good on their own, but they've also got to stand out on the shelf. And any sort of trick you can use to make them stand out on the shelf helps. So yes, definitely very conscious.
And once we've talked to Becky, I'll come back and ask you what you think about Tom's design for the logo and everything. But Becky, I almost feel like a bit like with Jamie, you're almost kind of you're almost 2000 AD by proxy. You're one of those artists who should be working for us on a regular basis, just because I think your style has an element of 2008. But I mean, you've worked with Steve Dillon and people like that, haven't you?
Yeah, I definitely have. Working with Steve was incredible. It was on the Punisher reboot that we did a couple of years ago. Yeah, that was amazing, because I was a fan of his since I think I read Preacher when I was a little bit too young, like before I should have yeah. read it. And it like was, I was quite impressionable, and it was, so I've been a fan of his for my whole life, basically. But yeah, I've done a lot of like Judge Dredd convention sketches. A couple of Andersons, nothing crazy. I think I did Death once or twice. Yeah.
Because when you've done stuff like Judge Death and those amazing Grim Reaper stickers that you've done, it always strikes me that it feels like you've got something in common with like Fraser Irving when he was doing his kind of inked stuff before he went full digital.
Oh yeah, God, his work is incredible. Yeah. I mean, convention sketches, I can't really say, because this cover is the first time I've legitimately drawn Judge Dredd. So it was like, for real this time. Like, convention sketches, not to say that it's not like real drawing, because it's difficult, just as like, as hard, almost harder than drawing at your desk.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I think you put in more attention to detail and to make sure that it's correct and that you're doing like the right thing and you're making the right choices when you're drawing it. So there's a little bit more stakes, you know, higher stakes, more pressure to do something.
More
like
chance
this.
For edits as well, I guess.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your process behind the cover, because I remember Owen, who we're going to be, I'm going to be talking to later, showed me some of the emails that were back and forth between you, and you had quite a vivid idea fairly early on for yours, didn't you?
Yeah, the first one, I think I always try and send in like two or three different sketches, but usually there's one that like hits harder, and I should never even send in the other ones. This is something that I just like, but I always do it because it's like, oh, look at how much work I did, you know? like trying to prove that I'm actually like doing work over here. But the idea, like I just had this kind of very dark, kind of like Akira-esque, Blade Runner-ish look of like Judge Dredd, but it's like you can't tell if he's like, maybe he's a reflection, or maybe like the taillights of the cars and the buildings in the background are the reflection, like kind of blending him and the city to be like merging it so it's almost one thing. And you can't tell if you're looking at the city lights or if you're looking at Judge Dredd. That was the idea. And it was hard to do because it was just, the concept was so strong in my head to try and like then bring it to reality. You're like, oh my, do my hands know how to make this thing? So I can actually show you, because I drew it by hand. I did Judge Dredd, so I have the original in here.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So it's, you know, just a normal drawing. The Lawgiver, I just kind of drew. I kind of just made it up. Like, I mean, I didn't just make it up. I looked at a bunch of different ones, and then I like made my own version of like, and then I had to redraw it because it wasn't like the Lawgiver, which, I mean, that's fine. Because I think the one that I drew looks kind of cool. So I drew it. It's mostly just black and white, and then kind of overlaid in Photoshop. Just took the black area, selected it, and then I would just draw lights kind of everywhere in different layers so I could kind of move them around and like change the color and blur them out a little bit. But yeah, it was a lot of trial and error with this one, as is all my work.
And was it just the kind of visual aspect, or were you trying to, this sounds odd, but say something about Dredd? You know, were you trying to create a bit of atmosphere about how you view him as a character?
100%. There's a lot of atmosphere in there. I think the real thing was the connection with him in the city. You know, there's that like inherent, you know, someone who's such a big part of their environment, and their environment is such a big part of them. So I think bringing the city into it, even if it's so, the city was more of the atmospheric part. So bringing that in, yeah, like blurring the lines between the two, I guess. Does that make sense? Is that a good answer? I really just thought it was a cool like image in my head. I was like, well, that would look cool. But, you know, when I talk it out, it sounds pretty good.
One thing I wanted to talk, and we'll talk to Jamie about this in a second, what does Dredd as a character mean to you? Because obviously, Jamie said, you know, he read the comics when he was younger. When I've spoken to a lot of particularly American creators, a lot of them have said, "Oh yeah, I love the '95 movie, but now I know it's a comic book character as well." You know, that's fine. What does the character mean to you? What impact has it had on you?
It's Judge Dredd. We didn't get too much Dredd over here in the States, and so it was, I think the movie was the first time that I was really like aware of it, but I was aware that it was also based on a comic, but I didn't have access to it really, or like I think until I started going to Thought Bubble was like the first times where I was actually like, okay, let me like check this out a little bit more. So I can't say it was ever like a big influence on me as a kid, except the character just seemed so much larger than life. So it's weird to like be aware of a character and the history of the character without ever having read the books. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
it's a strange thing, but I guess that's just, you know, that's just what I get for growing up in the States, I suppose.
Jamie, it's kind of same question to you, really. You know, like I said, you grew up reading it, but your path into comics was not the, shall we say, the usual British journey through 2000 AD and over to the States. So what does the character mean to you?
It's weird when I think back to it, because like I say, I was pretty young when I started reading it. It was sort of the first comic I was reading where I was aware, not necessarily getting everything, but like I was aware there's some other level to these things. And reading it, like, he isn't just a straight ahead hero. This isn't just black and white justice. You know what I mean? Like, it was the first time I was aware of a comic that was much more complex than stuff I've been reading before. And so that sort of introduction into those ideas was pretty powerful, I think. In terms of how I read comics and how I make comics, even.
Because I think we've talked about this before, that when we chatted at New York Comic Con, I think, one year, about the influence of things like Nemesis on you, and particularly Kieran.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah.
So
I mean, I'll tell the story again, but it was that we were sharing a table. It was the very, very early days where we were promoting the first Phonogram. We're sharing a table with Matt Fraction, who was there because of Casanova. And we were talking about stuff, and I can't remember, I think Kieran brought up some comparison between something in Casanova and Nemesis, and Matt was like, well, I've never read Nemesis. And I was like, Kieran's like, right, okay, hold on. And he ran off, I think he ran to your table to buy the collection of Nemesis the Warlock, to bring it back to Matt, and I was like, immediately handed it to Matt, I'm like, you have to read this now. And then Matt Rennie was like, oh, yeah, now I understand why you're like this. It suddenly makes a lot more sense. Yeah. It's funny, like, so my brother, he's a drum and bass musician and producer and DJ. And even his career is sort of influenced by it. So his group in the 90s was called Bad Company, obviously inspired by 2000 AD. So, like, yeah. Both of them. This came off of us sitting in that room reading 2000 AD together.
Becky, as we've already talked about with Jamie, this is a brand new series for 2000 AD, where we're pushing our best content, our best modern content, into the States.
It's about time.
Yeah. And as the cover artist for issue two, I mean, what's your take on how you think this will be received? Because it's been great to see the reaction online of people who've seen your cover and go, oh my god, this makes perfect sense.
I think a lot of people have the same reaction as I do. It's like, this finally, this book is more widely available in the States. And I feel like it should have been for a while. And I think it's coming at like a perfect time, where people who have been aware of this character for a very long time, but maybe never read it or never had the chance to pick up one of the books, or, you know, saw the movie, but didn't know it was based on a comic perhaps. I think it's the perfect time. I think, I hope you guys do more of this kind of stuff.
I mean, hopefully, you know, in the future. Yeah. No, it's good. And Jamie's already clearly promised to draw a Judge Anderson series for us, and that is contractual obligation now, I'm afraid. But as somebody who's worked on Dread adjacent characters, so like Punisher, I guess some people would lump in with a character like Dread. Is this a world that you think you would enjoy exploring in actual comics?
100%, yes. So, Jamie, if you need a co-writer or a cover artist or someone to do fill-in issues.
Brilliant. So we got Tom Muller, who's people who know their comics know who Tom Muller is. You know, he's just done the redesign for the X-Men, for Powers of X and House of X. They look fantastic, and we got him in to do the cover for to do the design for Best of 2000 AD. What's been your reactions to seeing Tom's new logo?
First of all, I'd like to say that you have so many incredible artists doing these covers with such a wide variety of styles and approaches. To get someone who can come in and do a logo that not only looks true to the spirit of Judge Dredd, but also modern but classic at the same time, and look good on every single one of these covers. I mean, the guy's like God tier, I think, when it comes to design. Like, I couldn't have done something like that. It's great.
I don't even need to add to that. That's exactly my opinion too. Yeah, it's incredible. I love it so much.
What's going to be interesting is seeing how people act, because Tom has done a variant of the logo, so which is a vertical version.
Because
of course for years 2000 AD had the fan logo, which kind of just sat off to the side in the top left hand corner, and the version Tom's done I think goes on the right hand side, and it's incredible how he's managed to evoke the past while still make, I mean, this is 2000 AD, he's managed to evoke the past while still being futuristic looking, really.
Yeah.
Pretty spot on.
Yes. How do you guys feel? I remember Tom making some joke, Jamie, about that's a really nice cover, just you wait until I cover it over with all my design stuff.
That's a designer for you.
No. Yeah. I mean, because I don't know how you guys feel, but design of comic books always feels to me like something that isn't necessarily paid enough attention to.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's so on. We hired a designer from the very beginning, not just the cover and stuff, but also like any non-comics pages, because it's a whole object, you know, you want all of it to reflect what you're doing in the pages. And that is often, a byproduct or not even really thought about at all. So it's nice that there's more awareness of it and there's more awareness of the people behind it.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure 10 years ago, you had Ryan Hughes, there weren't many people who were known as a designer in that respect. So it's really nice that you got.
A lot of people were just like in-house people who knew how to use like Quark or InDesign or something.
I understand the pressures of publishing and everything, but it's really nice that people are aware that there's a person behind it with talent who can do things if you give them the space to do them.
I mean, it's interesting you note Ryan Hughes there, because along with Steve Cook, who now works at DC, both 2000 AD alumni from the 1990s. So it's good that, you know, talent gets rewarded in the long run, let's put it that way. Yeah. Cool. Excellent. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a fairly brief chat, but the covers are amazing. We're so pleased that you were able to fit us in, and we were able to launch Best Of with your covers. As I said, you know, this is effectively the same as signing a contract on those series. So we'll be in touch. In the meantime, thank you so much. And Jamie, we've got you at a signing for Forbidden Planet on the 25th of April.
Which one's which? I've got two, haven't I?
Yeah, it's the London one on 25th of April.
Right, yes.
Yeah, and then Free Comic Book Day, hopefully up in Scotland, not confirmed yet, for Free Comic Book Day on the 2nd of May. And Becky, we're looking to get you at a signing as well, aren't we, in the States?
Yeah, don't know when yet, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, we've got a few months yet. Oh God.
Yeah, we'll plan it. We'll put it on the internet.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thanks very much to Becky and to Jamie for taking some time to talk to us. I'm joined in this delightful environment by Owen Johnson, who is
the Sisyphus of this project.
Yes, that's me.
Wow. Okay. That's how this is going to go, is it?
No,
right, fine. Okay.
It's been 3 months into a six-long mocking campaign, so I am as tired as I look and sound.
So, you're helping push this forward alongside Matt Smith, the editor of 2080. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how this project came about? Because for a lot of people, America to 2080 seems like the uncrackable egg. Mm-hmm. So why have we decided to take another crack at it?
Well, you've got to even go further back than that. I think after we did the 40th anniversary festival a few years ago, I think there was a certain amount of that was looking at like all the history and where it's on a kind of been, where 2000 AD as a comic has been. And I think at the time, a lot of people, you know, in the Nerve Center were kind of going, okay, well, it naturally makes you think, well, what's next?
Yeah.
What do we do now? And so this, I think, was a natural kind of evolution of that and going, well, what can we kind of do to broaden things out? You know, we've done Free Comic Book Day a couple of times out in the States, and they've done really well, but it's such a Free Comic Book Day, for those who don't know, I assume that you've explained that already, but it's a day worldwide now that all retailers do for in their comic stores, and they pay for free comics from publishers, and then the idea is to get new people into the comic stores, primarily kids or young adults, to read the stuff that, you know, makes the industry turn, and the idea of making new fans. And we've done it enough times now to realize it's a really great jumping on point. And so I think of it less as like although we can talk about the American market, but the idea of just for 2080, how do we get new readers? Yeah. Because there's plenty of us there that are kind of diehard fans that really, really enjoyed it over the years. But how do you then open that out and find accessible? It's a 40-year history. I described it earlier as like this giant comic book symphony that we're familiar with. Mm. But it's really easy to not remember that lots of people aren't. So that was kind of the idea. And in the States, they've got a great history of a very, very different kind of comic. You know, it started kind of in the Golden Age with your Superman, your Batman. It's generally been built on the back of Capes books, and is I don't want to say a lot more optimistic than British comics, but it doesn't have that chip on the shoulder of having a healthy disregard for authority in the same way.
Yeah.
But the ones that do love it out there, primarily thanks to your Eagle reprints, your bomb yeah. cover ones, which yeah, I'm sure yeah. you've talked about at length on the pod. There are ways in, you know. You've just got to find the crack in the fence and kind of sugar the pill a little bit, and they love it. You know, the right people that will get it really, really love it. And we've seen that going over to San Diego, New York. We've seen that, you know, in a lot of the retailers. So that's probably worth saying that I'm kind of liaison with a lot of the retailers out in the States, and I've spent a couple of years kind of going over there and asking them, you know, how it does for them, how 2080 does, and they say the ones that love it really love it, but it's really hard to know where to begin. And we see that in a lot of fans too.
Yeah, right? I mean, that was the feedback that we got on the Free Comic Book Day issues, which was, this is great, this is very popular, and you know, the number of copies that we were printing kept going up every year, but the reason they do Free Comic Book Day in the first place is to get people hooked. So, they pick something up and they say, well, what can I read next? And the retailers were having trouble getting hold of our stuff for a whole variety of logistical reasons. So this really is delivering exactly what they've asked for, which is, you've got Free Comic Book Day, you've got the free issue, and hey, it's on the shelves already. Pick up issue one, and all of a sudden, you've got a new reader right there, you know?
Absolutely. I think it's really easy to forget that sometimes this stuff skips generations. And the market turns, if you're really into your comics and you're specifically into how not the book trade that we're talking about in the UK, so it's getting a bit nerdy now, but you asked the questions. The book trade in the UK, which is like, get your graphic novels in Waterstones, which is how we collect a lot of stuff, or the weekly newsstand, very different to the state side and in the UK to a degree, direct market. The market turns very quickly, there's a weekly product that goes out and everyone's getting hold of stuff really quickly, and that's a very, very different way of getting your comics. You know, and this is a way of kind of going into that and going, well, there's people that are involved in that kind of thing that may have just completely kind of missed this out, but we know there are like-minded souls out there, you know.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the product, because we've already had Becky and Jamie on the podcast, but the covers on this are fantastic. You've got Becky, Jamie, you've got Charlie Adlard, so fresh off of Walking Dead, ex-2080 magazine artist. You've also got Annie Wu and Erica Henderson, both got huge profiles in the States, and hopefully by the point that we publish this, the cover by Jason Latour will be out there as well, and that is...
Guy won a freaking Oscar.
He has an Oscar
for Spider-Verse. I don't know whether he owns the Oscar, but he's won an Oscar.
Morally, it's on his shelf, yeah. Sure. As I said to Jamie and Becky, that has allowed us to debut Tom Muller's vertical version of the logo, it's so great to have a package that is integrated like that, where it's been thought out beforehand rather than, oh, how do we make this fit, you know, further down the line. Tell me a bit about why you bought Tom on board.
I've been a huge fan of Tom's work for years and years. I saw him come up through kind of doing a lot of... he started... I don't know where technically he started, but I first saw his work on a lot of image books, creator-owned image books. And his career is just kind of... at least in comics, it just kind of lifted to the point where he blew up doing House of X, Power of X, which was the huge X-Men relaunch of the summer just gone, and that's when I don't know whether it was Hickman that kind of got him involved. I think that's what they've said on podcasts and stuff, or whether it was Marvel, but he's basically he's the only one seeing every single book that's in that line, and I've just been a huge fan of the kind of futurism of his stuff, the kind of modular way he puts stuff together, and it just seems like design, everything I saw out of his stuff was design that you don't see a lot of in comics, and he makes stuff that really pops. So when I was penniless, I asked him kind of his rate for like my own creator and comics, and he kind of carefully just kind of chuckled at me and he was like, I'll see you in a couple of years kind of thing. And I was like, okay, fine. So when it kind of came around to like getting foot in here and thinking who would be great to package this in a way and really relish the design process to create. I've always been a huge fan of stuff that it feels like an artifact. When you're doing print comics, you can do something that isn't available anywhere else, the tactile quality of those things. And that was a long process. Like I said, it's been quite a big process of going, what do we want this to feel like? Do we want this to feel really retro? Do we want this to feel, and the kind of feeling in the Nerve Center was like, we want this to be an evolution. We want this to go, well, here's where we've been. Mm. Here's just a little nudge somewhere else. Or just reflect now, like where we are now in that process, what sci-fi is doing now. And Tom was the first person I thought of. And we're really lucky to have him, basically.
Because it's interesting you use the word artifact, because this is 100 pages, perfect bound, so it's got a nice square spine to it. Mm-hmm. The Americans would call it an annual, you know, that kind of thick, square, perfect bound comic book. It feels chunky, it feels special, particularly with these covers and this design. But let's talk about the future, because the first 12 issues, one season. You've got a standalone Dread story in each of these issues. You've also got the ongoing Brink and Jaeger and Halo Jones, but we've got lots of stuff sort of further down the line that we're hoping to do. What's the outcome of this? What are you? I mean, we've kind of covered this already, but what are you hoping for with this?
I want it to do well. I mean, you can't really go into numbers, but it would be really wonderful if it did the numbers that would justify it kind of continuing. We can do everything we can in our power, but as I explained, the market turns so quickly and it's such a volatile thing. It really relies on plug the pre-order system. So it relies on both fans going in like, this looks super cool, brilliant, and then walking out. It makes a huge difference, as opposed to going in and going, this looks brilliant, please put me down for all 12 issues. Because then a retailer knows, in this bizarre ordering system in which they have to order things 2 months ahead of release, but that's a whole different thing for another time, that there is demand for this. People have seen it online, they think it looks great, they go in, and that's really what we're relying on, and rather than to kind of walk in kind of sales. So if we get enough and we can run it right through to the end, then that's the ideal kind of situation for us. I'd love to see it extend and see what we can do. And talk to retailers and say, well, what worked for you, kind of what didn't, what can we change kind of in the future? We're always looking to do better at what we do, but I love it to just have a really good cultural footprint to, that sounds like a very, you know, bland way of saying that we want to be I want to be at a show and a kid comes up to me and he's like 15, 16, that was like, I've never read 2080 before, and I picked this up and it blew my freaking mind. That's kind of like the dream, and you go, well, you're going to stick with it, what else are you going to read? That's the idea. This is a gateway. It has to kind of go, look, here's this whole world of stuff, and if that then means that people are reading the other books and they're getting into stuff that aren't available in this, that's the dream. I'd like to keep going, but the idea is to foster a new generation of fans, really.
And so, first issue.
Yeah.
We've got, and this is a fantastic lineup. We've got Terror by Judge Dredd. Terror, Judge Dredd's story by John Wagner and Colin McNeil.
Props to Matt. I hadn't read that before we
cracker,
put it in
there.
It's insanely good.
And so,
sorry,
it's very easy. It's very easy to say this. It's so on point for now as well. You've then got Jaeger by Gordon Rennie, Simon Colby, and Leonard Grady.
Just throws you in.
It really does.
Like, it's not like explaining anything.
But the thing is,
perfect.
I read the collections of Low.
Right. Yeah.
The Image series, and that's exactly the same. It's Odyssey, the Christian Ward. Matt Fraction series.
Fraction.
Again, right in at the deep end. You know, this shouldn't be an alien concept to people. Then you've got Brink, which I read the trades of that over Christmas, and it's so good. It's so good, Owen.
It's a brilliant book. Yeah, yeah. You reminded yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, like, I really did. Oh, I was like, yeah. I knew this was going. I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll read them over Christmas. Oh my God, this is amazing. Yeah. And then you got Halo Jones. So mm-hmm. Alan Moore and Ian Gibson. And these series will continue through issues 2, 3, yep. 4, etc. for as long as they last.
Yeah, you're going to have some breaks in there from stuff. So we've kind of we've done it in such a way. Matt's put the thing together in a way that you're only like an issue or two away from something new kind of kicking off. Yep. It'll all be in chunks of like 3 or 4 issues. So then you'll get that, and then something else will kind of roll around. Mm. And there's some beautiful stuff coming up. There's like some Charlie Adlard actual sequentials coming up. There's Chris Weston, if anyone's read The Filth. And I mean, your fans should be absolutely no doubt
who he is.
No doubt yeah. as to Chris Weston's talents. But yeah, some stuff with him and Rob Williams and stuff. So there's some really good stuff coming down the pipe. It should be like you're only one issue away from like this new thing that'll blow your mind if you've never read anything before.
I think one of the things that I'm happiest about is that it's called Best of 2008. I mean, I know we had a very long, protracted discussion in the office about what we were going to call it. But for me, that
we have thought about this.
Yeah, quite a lot of depth. But it comes back to the words that we've been saying about, particularly when we're talking to Jamie and Becky, words we're saying about Tom's design for this, that it is somehow retro and futuristic at the same time. It's that future modern kind of thing. And for me, Best of 2000 AD was always the perfect gateway. It was the gateway that got me into 2000 AD. As I say, that kind of echoing of that tradition within 2080s, which you don't need to know in order to pick it up.
It helps.
It really does help. But as you say, the key to the success of this is getting comic book stores to order it, because like we said, this isn't going to be available in newsagents. This is something you have to get from a comic book store. Lots of them offer it by mail order. Mm-hmm. But if you have a local comic book store, please go in the next couple of days after this podcast comes out, ask them to order it in. They may either have not have ordered it at all, or may have only ordered a handful of copies. But the more demand that you alert them to, the more likely they are to order copies. And you know, with the success of this, we can then
more. Always more.
He says, tears streaming down his face. Owen, thank you very much for coming on, as this is our first video episode.
I broke the fourth wall.
I was staring at the camera, man.
Oh yeah, okay.
Dear,
okay.
I did.
Sorry.
But yes,
I don't do this much. Can you tell?
Me neither. So yes, thank you everybody for joining us on the 2080 Thrillcast and Vidcast, I guess now. Yeah. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time when we're going to be talking more about 2000 AD and what's coming up in the coming year. Make sure you go along to 2080.com/news to catch up on the latest that the Galaxy's Greatest Comic has to offer. We've just announced our graphic novel schedules for 2080 and for the Galaxy of British Comics? Treasury of British Comics.
Commit.
Ah, wheels are coming off now. As soon as the camera comes in the room,
I'll
completely lose the ability to talk. But we will be back in 2 weeks' time when we bring you more from the Galaxy's Greatest Comic, not just for your aural senses, but also now for your optical senses, because look, what a treat. What a treat. But if you are just listening to this and you would like to watch the videos instead, then go along to youtube.com/2000AD online. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Splendid Verthrig, Earthlitz.
Ta-ra.
Power levels dangerously high. Alert! Alert! Read 2000 AD every week. Ask your comic book store or newsagent now. Subscribe to the Galaxy's Greatest Comic at 2000adonline.com. Subscribe digitally on our apps for Apple, Android, and Windows 10. And download DRM free copies from 2000adonline.com. Alert! Alert! Stand by for urgent updates. Search for 2000 AD on Twitter and Facebook. Watch the latest videos at youtube.com/2000AD. 2000AD online, and follow on Instagram at Insta2000AD. Program complete. Shutting down.